Hello, Tamar Munch.
Hello. I was having a little... I turned the volume up on my headphones listening to that. I was having a lovely time.
You're enjoying it. That's good. That's good. Yeah. Cornflakes, that's just made me hungry, but that always happens at 10 to 12 every single day, predictably. What have you been viewing, please, and what would you recommend?
Well, I'll start off today with a little local documentary series, second series of this, which is a show called No Place Like Home, or a series called No Place Like Home. And it's... the first season of it, which came out last year, followed six couples returning to New Zealand in the wake of COVID. And whereas this season, the second season, follows six refugee families who are resettling in New Zealand. So there's about 1,000 or so refugees who resettle in New Zealand each year, and this is just a snapshot of that. The first episode follows a man called Gul and his wife Mujahida, and the episode opens with his description of a very dramatic escape from Kabul in late 2021 as the US military retreated from Afghanistan. We've seen those pictures on the news, but this is like first person account. It's pretty raw, and he settled, he, along with his wife, his two daughters, and his mother, settled in New Zealand, obviously leaving behind family members. He had also established a very successful tourism business. And so we sort of meet him describing that escape, describing his life in Afghanistan, and then meet them coming into New Zealand and settling in. The scenes that really got me actually in this is he trained for and organised Afghanistan's first international mixed gender marathon, which took place in 2015. And so once he's back in New Zealand, we see him sort of reinvigorating his passion for running by doing training for the Auckland Marathon, which I think takes place in October. And then I was, you know, it's like, it does make you think about how you spend your life when you watch people like this, doesn't it? Like, he's a refugee, just gone through this terribly traumatic experience, living on the other side of the world, and probably less than 6 months into this new life, he's off training for the Auckland Marathon.
My life every day is just contemplating how little I do compared to people.
Compared to other people. I mean, it does. Just makes you kind of take stock of yourself, to be perfectly honest.
I try just to cope. But it's
So, yeah, I mean, look, heartstrings firmly pulled. There's some really, you know, I think that's the lovely thing about this series. There's some really uplifting and kind of inspiring, if not provoking to get your bum off the couch moments. So basically six episodes, six families. The second episode, for example, is a couple of sisters who fled Colombia, they were targeted by a right-wing death squad there. Another is an older Ukrainian couple, and that documents actually the experience of those Ukrainian refugees, because they have a different status in New Zealand. They aren't granted permanent refugee status, so it sort of looks at their struggles. So, I mean, it does what documentary is supposed to do, in that it gives you a close-up look at lives that you might not otherwise encounter. And I think the interesting thing for us in New Zealand is, you know, I didn't know that there was a Colombian community down in, I think it's in Invercargill, is where those refugees have been resettled. Like, it's quite interesting to sort of see where these communities are cropping up around the country.
Beyond being a number, right, and a number that many find embarrassingly low.
Exactly, yeah.
It takes it, and it just puts the human beings in the spotlight.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's No Place Like Home, second season. It's streaming on Stuff, and it's on YouTube also.
Yes.
Now, The Clearing is on Disney Plus.
Yeah, so this is, it's actually Disney Plus, it's the platform's first Australian original. They've got a slate of new Australian originals. And it's an 8-part psychological drama series. It's actually based on the book by New Zealand author J.P. Pomare. So, you know, like Pavlova, we can probably claim it as our own. He wrote a book called In the Clearing. And the show opens as we see within the opening, we see the abduction of a schoolgirl, school-age girl. And we're also simultaneously introduced to a woman, Freya. She's a single mother of a young son. And when Freya hears a news report about this missing girl, her reaction suggests that she has more than a passing interest in the case. The girl is taken to a property in rural Victoria and forced, I would say, into a cult, which is led by a woman called Adrian, played by Miranda Otto. Adrian's goal is to raise children who are, and I quote, pure and untainted, away from the suffocating rules of society. And we eventually find out that Freya knows more about the cult. I won't give too much away. The religious group in the show is called the Kindred, but if you know about religious cults, I'm a cult aficionado. It's quite obvious that this is very closely based on the cult of the family, which was also based in rural Victoria, and it had a female leader, Anne Hamilton Byrne, who was very charismatic. She was a yoga teacher who claimed to be Jesus Christ reincarnated, and she preached a mashup of kind of Eastern mysticism with, I think, apocalyptic prophecy, and she, what's the word, collected numerous children that weren't hers, and dyed their hair platinum blonde. It sort of looks very, was it Children of the Corn or Village of the Damned? One of the, whichever one it is, where there's all those platinum blonde children. They got dosed with LSD. There's all the stuff that went on in the real cult of the family. There's actually a terrific feature documentary about that group. In the drama, the cult is kind of the backdrop to the story, and we as an audience follow Freya, who's played by Teresa Palmer, and also Sarah, who's the young girl who was abducted. And we're three episodes in. It seems to me that one of them is going to be the downfall of Adrian, I'm guessing, without being a spoiler, but I'm guessing that that's the way it's going to end. I haven't actually seen more than what's available. There's a multi-strand timeline, so we go from the abduction timeline into the future. And actually, I have to say, you know when you lose that slight bit of attention when you're watching something late at night and you might just glance down at your phone? I missed that, and so I actually have to go back and re-watch it because I got really confused.
Okay.
But it's got it's very atmospheric. It's got that sort of creepy, psychological, slow burn, you know, of a plot. Great actors. So Miranda Otto, Guy Pearce play in there. Wow. The kids are really terrific as well. And actually some beautiful Victorian scenery. It's got that kind of beautiful green bush. So there's some lovely, yeah.
Just as an aside, JP Pomare was one of a fabulous panel we had on crime writing on 9 to Noon last year. Val McDermid, Michael Rowbottom, JP Pomare. So I highly recommend listeners go back and have a listen in to that. It was a masterclass. Now, your third item today is, let's just remind people, that's The Clearing, which
is
on
Disney Plus. Yep.
Your third item is The Great, Season 3, which is streaming on Neon. New episodes landing weekly on Wednesdays.
Oh, actually, the Wednesdays, I think, was for The Clearing. For The Great, actually, all three seasons are now on Neon. And I thought that this is possibly an option for people that feel like they've got a big Succession-sized hole in their viewing at the moment, because it's rich people being mostly just bloody awful, but in a very different way. So The Great is a very fictionalised telling of the story of Catherine the Great and Peter the Third. So Elle Fanning plays Catherine the Great, Nicholas Hoult plays Peter the Third. It is completely irreverent. It is full of absurd humour. It's crass, kind of bawdy, rude. There's probably as many F-bombs to rival Succession if you're missing that Logan Roy moment of some profanity. But it is also stunning production design and costume design of that period. It's written by Tony McNamara, who did the black comedy film The Favourite, which Olivia Colman won the Oscar for. And it feels very similar in style. It's got that very sort of fast-paced, witty banter dialogue, and it's a period story told with a very modern take and a modern lens, and every episode finishes with a contemporary song as the credits play. So you're sort of it's almost cartoon-like in its presentation, but it's just a fun ride, and there's three seasons of it. So if you feel like you need, you know, if your Neon subscription is you're wondering what to watch next, I reckon The Great's a good bet.
30 seconds, Succession, yes, no, maybe.
Look, I loved Succession.
But the way it ended, let's not spoil alert for people who haven't got there yet.
I don't think
they're going to do another series. I'm sorry, that was a classic setup for another series, don't you think? I know they said they wouldn't, but...
I don't think they will. I think that it was... the best kind of endings are surprising and inevitable, and I think it did both of those things.
Well, either that or... It's either that or... And then I woke up.
It was all a dream.